Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 11. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Revelation, the 14th chapter. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven with an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation, tribe, language, and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of water." And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She who has made all the nations drink the wine of her passion and sexual immorality." Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will drink the cup of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength with the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. We get afraid of things. We get afraid of a lot of things. I think that's probably why the Lord keeps saying, "Peace be with you," or "Don't be afraid," as many times as he does in Scripture. If you count the two occasions where he either says peace or don't be afraid, it's over 400 times in Scripture, which tells you that we're a fearful lot. There's a lot to be afraid of in our mind and in our eyes, and we live in fear and trepidation and anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything, the Lord says. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And yet we're still afraid. And then we come to this week. Misericordias Domini, the tender mercies of our God. That's probably not how modern translators would like to put it best, but I love the simple elegance of it. The tender mercies of our God. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are made. He knows that we are but dust. As for man, he's like the grass of the earth that grows up quickly. The wind blows on it and it's gone, and even its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And his tender mercies are with his children's children. Or as we sing in the Benedicamus, the tender mercies of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, to lead our feet into the way of peace. We rest in these tender mercies during fearful times, during times when we find no rest or respite, when we don't know where to turn or how to solve the problems that we face. And there are a lot of them going on right now, but it's not really as though there are more than there ever have been. We're celebrating the Here We Stand week, the 500th anniversary of the Diet of Worms. And although that's sort of a great celebration for Lutherans, for Luther, that was a horrifying event. Standing face to face with the inevitable outcome in his mind that he was going to get burned at the stake. just like everybody else was burned at the stake before him. This is something that you just had to count on when you decide that you're going to stand up in the middle of a council before the emperor and say, no, I'm not taking it back. I was right when I said that this is the gospel and you are false prophets. But it's always been that way. You go back to Ezekiel, Babylonian captivity. They got into captivity because of all the false prophets running around among them and all the people who were willing to embrace them and hold on to the false idols that they proclaimed. And the Lord makes a promise to Ezekiel and he says, all of my prophets and all of my priests have been false. So I myself will be a shepherd. And of course, that was a prophecy of Jesus, but yeah, a few centuries before Jesus would show up on the earthly plane. And as you look around for how the Lord was going to be a shepherd, he tells Ezekiel what that means. He's going to send Ezekiel and other prophets running with that word, proclaiming the gospel that nobody can live without, that circumstances can't crush. The declaration that the Lord's love is greater than your outward circumstances or those things that you see and behold, those things of which you're afraid. Which takes me to things that I'm afraid of now. Now, one of the things that for years caused me a great deal of fear was this particular book that I just read from. I didn't understand it. I couldn't get it. I couldn't make sense of the images. I was afraid to read the promises of God. John tells us right at the beginning, you read this book, it's going to be great. It's going to give you comfort. And then he ends the book the same way. It's going to give you comfort and peace. What a wonderful book. All these promises are going to be great for you. And I was afraid to open it because I tried reading it once and there were these pictures of dragons and women running through the desert and beasts and numbers that I couldn't understand. Then I realized what it was. It was bigger than literal revelation. I didn't have to figure out whether those giant locusts with iron teeth were really Cobra helicopters sweeping in from the Russian republics or something. But the only way that we were really going to understand things from God's perspective was through big artsy pictures because our minds couldn't wrap around all that God had taught us and wanted us to know about as His children. So He used pictures to convey it. He used imagery that sounded like myth but was bigger than myth and truer than myth. And what happened in every generation of His children, false prophets would seem to be everywhere. The beast would rise up. For Luther, the beast was the Holy Roman Emperor, the emperor himself, and the popes. 100 years before it, John Hus had gotten burned at the stake because there was a pope and an anti-pope and another anti-pope, and they were fighting over the kings, and they had declared war on each other. They had declared war. The pope had declared war on the city of Naples. And Hus said, you know, Christians shouldn't act like this. And they burned him at the stake for it. It has always, always, always been impossibly hard to be a Christian and to be a true and faithful confessor within the church. But it's always been necessary too. We get afraid because we look and we don't see how our strength or our witness is going to be sufficient. And it really shouldn't be, except for the one who's on our side. where our weak and frail confession and witness fails, the Lord says in the book of Revelation, "And I saw yet another angel flying between the heavens and the earth, proclaiming an eternal gospel to those who dwell on the earth among every people, language, tongue, and nation." At Luther's funeral, Jacob Andrea said that that was a prophecy of Luther himself. And I think it was, but not Luther alone. It was a prophecy of the fact that even if we're all pushed down, the word in Greek about those who dwell on the earth is actually those who are sitting in the depressions in the earth. We've been slapped down into our place. And that eternal gospel is proclaimed to us from heaven. Out of the reach of all the furies of the beast and his ilk, out of the reach of all the furies of men and women and those who would hate us and those who would deny the message, outside of the reach of everything that would hold us down or keep us back. Because that gospel will not perish from this earth until the earth perishes itself, and then it will be proclaimed in heaven as our Lord says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servants," not because of the work which we did while we were here, but because of His work. Because Satan is not defeated by our actions and our labors. He's defeated by the love, by the blood of the Lamb, as we heard just two chapters earlier in Revelation. But here's our part. And the testimony of His witnesses. Because our God is so wondrously incarnational in everything He does, I can't hear the voice of the angel crying from mid-heaven. But I can hear the gospel spoken by my friends and my pastor, and by the promises of God delivered through the years, by the voice of Him who says, "Take and eat," by the voice of Him who says, "Your sins are forgiven," by the voice of my friends who remind me that the Lord is with me in spite of my sins, who remind me that this is not the end but only the beginning, because the Lord is with His church here and eternally. And I look and I saw another angel, and all of the calamities which were raised up by Babylon collapse on them. You see, we've seen that for generation after generation after generation too. Those who stand against the Lord do not remain standing. How many evils and ills has history shown us of those who would grab power and wrap their arms around the weak and the innocent for their destruction, and they themselves sink into the dust from whence they came? But where are the possessors of an eternal gospel? Our lips have drunk from the cup of eternal life. Our brother is our Savior. Our advocate is our Redeemer. The Holy Spirit given to us in the waters of baptism calls out with groans that words cannot express, and the Father hears and answers. And Jesus, our faithful Savior, sits at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Why do the nations rage so furiously together against the Lord and His anointed? It's always been so. But in this place, and throughout the world, and throughout the ages, there is an eternal gospel that's proclaimed. Outside the reach of all of those who would stop it and cause it no longer to be spoken, by messengers and angels, by those who know the truth. And first, this gospel of mine must be preached to all nations, and then the end will come, says the Lord. How gracious and blessed is the Lord who allows such as us to stand in days like this and say, "Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me." Because the message we speak saves our friends and family and children and the generations yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.